Mini episode 536 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Here in the FDH Lounge, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross are talking NFL football. Looking back at last season, ahead to next season. Now it's time to look at the 2014 and 2015 NFC East. And apparently, my greeting that I gave here really startled Kyle Ross, who looks like he must be about to have to change his drawers after that one. Yeah, the look on your face.
No, that's just my usual brand of professionalism where I wasn't paying attention at all and I was in my own world.
Oh, okay.
I was looking at something. I was like, okay, I've got to get this down again. I was like, here, let me not count a team's number of one losses and one score games on the air. Let me do that beforehand, actually. And then I was like, oh, we're starting now. Oh.
I'm going to have to start applying the Jeopardy theme in post-production for those moments.
That would be great, yes.
That would be amazing.
Welcome to the FDH Lounge, where our commentators don't do their prep work until they're live on air.
I prefer to call it the excitement and spontaneity yes. of live broadcasting.
Oh, wait, you mean I was supposed to come prepared with facts to this? Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, I'll tell you what, speaking of not doing your homework,
mm-hmm.
we have the NFC East.
Yes.
Which is, of the eight divisions, Rick Morris.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one that you and I combined whiffed on the worst last year.
Well, and
the, and I and I'll make no excuses for it. There was, I guess I could see what I was doing.
We did our homework. We just got it wrong. We prepared. Yeah.
And in our defense, what happened, no one's predicted. I don't
think.
So let's take a look back.
We went out on a limb. We were wrong. I said Washington to win the division at 8-8. You picked Washington to win the division as well.
What the God does that sound bad? I don't want to say that we did that.
Well, you know. It happened. We you know.
Okay, but let's defend ourselves.
Let's polish that.
Let's defend ourselves first of all. So two seasons ago now, you had Chip Kelly coming with Philadelphia, make the big turnaround. They jumped from 4 to like 10 wins.
Right.
Won the division. You had Washington then completely plummet. They had won the division the year previous, and they dropped to last.
Yep.
So normally what you see then is kind of a meeting in the middle.
Yes.
And that didn't happen. Instead, they both kind of maintained their levels. Washington was, 4-12? They did improve. Okay, they went from – we did say they'd improve, and technically they went from 3-13 to 4-12.
Right.
But that's not what we had in mind. Philly stayed at 10-6, and to be honest, probably should have been better had it not been for the injury to Nick Foles.
Right.
But what no one saw coming was the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
The team that won this division at 12-4, I believe I said like 6-10 or 7-9 before the year. So this was one, along with Washington, that was one of my big misses for the year. And it was a lot of people's. Now, here's what's interesting. This show I like a lot. This show meaning what we, you know, right after the season's over, and we kind of just based on numbers, not draft and free agency, talk about how we think these teams could perform based on what we just saw. At this time last year, you and I were both kind of like, okay, something's going to change here. There's going to be we don't think Philly can duplicate what they did last year.
Right.
And I think we both leaned to the Giants initially, if I remember.
Yes.
And then we kind of backed off that when we took a look at the Giants. We're like, yeah, I don't really like what this team's doing.
A lot of holes defensively. Jerry Reese has not done a good job in that the last couple of years after a great first couple of years.
Because this is funny, because of Dallas's defense, which was awful the year before and had then like lost its best players from that group, were like, oh, my God, this defense could set an all-time record for futility. We weren't going to pick them. So it was funny when we were doing that, when we made our official projections, we were both like, God, I think I'm going with Washington by process of elimination.
That's what it was.
And I think I told you on air, wow, is that scary?
Yes.
And it turned out to be.
Yes.
So it's funny. So with Dallas, and I think this is important for any team out there, or any, I don't think there are any. I hope, of course, they're listening. Who am I kidding? But if you're a fan of any team that has a really, really crappy defense, so if your defense just sucked the big one in 2014, I got news for you. Don't be worried. You know why? Because if the last couple years have proven anything, look, I have fully bought in to the fact that offense is more important than defense in this league.
Sure.
And it's also, from year to year, tends to be more consistent. If you have a good offense, you know, this just in, Peyton Manning offenses have been good for about 15 years, every year.
Right.
Tom Brady's with the Patriots, they're good every year.
Right.
But if you have a really lousy defense one year, we've seen this now for a couple years in a row, you're probably not going to be that lousy again the following year. The Saints, we saw that with 2 years, remember?
Right.
They made the big jump.
Right.
And then the Cowboys made the big jump. It turns out that if you have the worst defense in the league, do you know what you can't do the next year? Be any worse. So it didn't matter that they lost to Marcus Ware and Sean Lee, because
they finally got cost effective with building their defense. It was cheaper guys who played well.
Yeah, and there was a lot of luck involved with the Cowboys. And look, I know you don't like Robo, and that's silly, but
he's not a winner.
What do you mean he's not a winner? He went 12-4 this past year.
Andy,
this is the second time he's gone 12.
Is Andy Dalton a winner? He's made the playoffs his first 4 years.
No, I don't like him. So the Cowboys, what people need to understand is, so the defense went from complete horse manure to opportunistic and okay.
Yes.
But, and I told you this midway through the season when we were, you know, doing our picks every week. I'm like, man, you look at this Dallas offense. There is a ton of talent here, and that's what's important. Romo had his best year as a pro. You can't dispute that.
He did.
Son of a bitch. Okay. he was legitimately a top 10 quarterback for the first time this year. I think there's no disputing.
Yeah, they beefed up the
O-line.
Top 7.
The offensive line is the best in the league.
It is.
And in turn, DeMarco Murray was the best running year at the running back position. And Dez Bryant is one of the two best receivers in the league.
Here's the thing, is that now it looks like in the offseason, and for the medium to long-term good of Dallas, which Jerry Jones now belatedly is buying into, he's doing the right thing, not for the moment, but for the time beyond the moment, in having to let either Murray or Bryant go. In all likelihood,
it's got to be Murray. You have to let Murray
go.
Yes,
it will be.
You can't let Dez Bryant
go. It will
be.
And here's the thing, too. For anybody that thinks that we're being haters out there, because Cowboys fans love to invoke that.
I hate that word.
H-A-T-E-R-Z to all you hate, to Cowboys fans out there. Dallas didn't get to 12-4 in a way that's even remotely sustainable, because they took a guy who's going to be a free agent running back.
And they just ran his ass into the ground.
With no regard,
no regard for him at all. They had
no regard
for his foot. They're like, 401, what? Oh, that's how many touches we're going to give you this year.
You know what, that was...
We're just going to keep... Oh, DeMarco, are you tired?
Exactly,
Just keep carrying
it.
We don't care what anyone says, because... And you know what? It was smart. First of all, I don't want to give Jerry Jones too much credit, but... Remember how everyone's like, oh, it'd be so great if he just picked Johnny Manziel. You know what was great? Him not picking Johnny Manziel. And what did he pick? An offensive lineman, Zach Martin. And it wound up being a great
selfishly group. As a Browns fan, I'm not happy about that. But you know what that was reminiscent of? What they did with DeMarco Murray, or to DeMarco Murray, as the case may be, was I don't remember who was the guy at the time in my tired state of mind. I think it might have been Doug Melvin that was general manager of the Brewers back in 08. When they acquired Sabathia,
and they gave
big middle finger to George Steinbrenner. You're going to sign him in the offseason, but we're going to take 5 years off his career before you do.
three days what? All right.
That was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, you talk about the lack of sustainability with Dallas. Look.
Yes.
Now, it is interesting that if DeMarco Murray is back, and no matter what it is, he's not going to be as good next year.
Oh, no. No,
so,
not after a year
But
like
here's
that.
The thing. So let's say they keep him, cut him, whatever. It doesn't matter. Regardless of the decision, they're not going to be as strong at running back. Now, they're great at offensive line, but you do need someone to run through those holes.
Right.
So the running back position, they're not going to be as strong. They were 5-2 in games decided by one score. So that's a little good luck in there. A lot of it was early, right, believe it or not. They actually had some nice blowout wins late in the year. This was not a bad football team. Both of their playoff games were actually close. So they were 4-1 in the regular season in close games. That is kind of lucky. Do you know what else they're not going to do next year?
What?
They're not going to go 8-0 on the road.
No.
So all signs in Big D point to big regression.
Right.
And I would not be surprised for the first time in a long time this team posted a losing record. Just because things are so this was a best case scenario year. You remember when we talked about the Jets and the AFC East, the very first one we did this, I had called for what was a worst case scenario year for them. And they hit it. Dallas, there's no way they could have been any better than this this past year. So there's only one way to go, and it's just a matter of how far down is it.
I'll say 8-8, which was my pick for last year, which is where they had been for every year going back to Reconstruction prior to that. Here's the thing is that when I look at Dallas, where I give them credit now, I used to say this to you all the time on the show. They're a team that's a grab bag of stars with massive holes everywhere
else.
Like the Steelers kind of are. Jerry Jones has gotten away from that way of thinking. And I want to say, too, there's not much to be said in terms of talking about the Redskins. I'd like to get to them next because I think it's a logical point of comparison with what Dallas did. And I think it is potentially very significant for all the Redskins fans out there that were bemoaning and that, oh, Dan Snyder's not even a middle-aged guy yet. How long till we have to wait for him to die, whatever.
Jesus, people say these things?
Yes, there were. There was a lot of that. Having said that,
I mean, I mean, he's real tone deaf when it comes to the nickname, but
well,
I mean, Jesus, I don't.
We may be at a point of seeing that he had his Jerry Jones moment, albeit in a different kind of a way. This hiring of Scott McLaughlin as general manager in the offseason, a guy who helped build the nucleus in San Francisco, then went to Seattle and helped do it. He has never had his own operation, but the talent that he acquired in both places. He has a tremendous record as a personnel guy, and supposedly, Dan Snyder says, hands off. We'll see how long that lasts. If he stays
hands
off.
How many times has Jerry Jones said, Jason Garrett's my coach?
Well, and he has stuck with him.
Well, I guess.
So, you know, that's not a good example because he hasn't fired him yet. Now,
yeah, but I mean, but is he really the – okay, it says coach, but,
right.
I mean, you know, I mean –
Well, true. But if Dan Snyder can stick to that, and that is a massively big if, but your dream scenario in any kind of sport is to have an owner who's a rich guy who will sign whatever big checks you want while keeping his nose out of it.
Yes.
If Washington finally has that and Dan Snyder, as unlikely as that may seem, the medium to long term is bright. The short term, however,
is
still
not.
Sucks.
No,
because they got RG3, and again.
And not a lot of depth that they lost. They're a team, when you look around, that, oh, this is going to be great how it's going to segue into the next team. Oh, this is going to be so good.
Like we planned it.
Yes.
Although we didn't.
No. Oh, my God. This is going to be so good.
Okay.
So I think we saw that the whole, you know, big haul for one guy thing doesn't really work when you just, like, mortgage everything to get this one guy.
Right.
Because Washington, they didn't have any of those draft picks. You know, they have a top five one this year.
Right.
Bless their souls. But, you know, they've got so many holes on that roster.
Yep.
And unless if RG3 was truly Superman, which he wasn't, then it's just not a good deal.
You do that for Andrew Luck. You don't do that for RG3.
Correct.
Even if you have a bunch of holes, you still do that.
And what's funny is the Colts have kind of done that indirectly.
Yeah.
You know, they traded the first-round pick away for Trent Richardson.
Right.
So they've done a lot of stuff
it's
like that.
It's almost like they have white guilt for being in the right spot to get Andrew Luck. It's almost like that's the case.
I hope that does not make the final cut because I don't want to participate in some of these. So that's disgusting. I noticed you said Reconstruction earlier. Were you a favor? Now that's big government. Were you in favor of Reconstruction or okay?
I was waiting to see if you were going to pick up on that.
Yeah, I was. Guess what I was doing? I was counting one score records in one score games. Here's one thing that Washington was 3-3 in one score games. But you want to know something that's not very good?
What?
Three of their wins this year, three of their four wins,
yeah,
by a field goal or less.
Right.
So they could have been like even worse. They beat Philly on a Saturday night. Remember that game? That was a goofy one. I think we disagree on that game, by the way.
Yeah, you were right. Yep.
They beat Dallas in the Colt McCoy game on Monday night,
right?
Which was kind of fluky. They only beat Tennessee by 2 at home. So the only win that they – the only team they beat by more than 3 points all year was Jacksonville in week 2.
Yeah.
So this was not a good team in short term. I do think this maybe shapes up as the worst team in the NFC next year. They're not
probably
good.
Probably.
They're again, not going to be good.
It'll be another year removed, which generally tends to help since RG3's major knee injury. But having said that, look, I'm the guy who said, you know, I like to draw my marker there, and then if I'm right, talk about it later on. I said after 2012, I'm like, he still hasn't proven it to me. He ran a gimmick offense in college. He ran a gimmick offense in the NFL that doesn't hold up over the long haul. RG3 has yet to win in this league running a legitimate NFL offense. I don't think he necessarily has the skill set. We don't know, in fairness to him, because nobody's ever had the courage to try it.
That second year, and you and I both talked about this.
Yeah.
That was such a lost year because when a coach and quarterback hate each other, like yeah. it's just to be honest, it doesn't look like it's that great with him and Jay Gruden either.
Right.
But it was such a toxic situation with Shanahan. But can we do this now?
Go ahead.
So we talk about how it's probably not a good idea to mortgage the future for this short term, you know, all in on one guy. We're just gonna, like, throw a bunch of, you know, we're gonna trade a bunch of assets to this team just for one asset.
Exactly. I always say it's not good to go all in, Chris Hayes.
And we talk about quarterbacks who ran gimmicky offenses in college.
Yep.
Let us turn to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
A team that in 2 years under Chip Kelly, who, you know, some people still don't like, but those are dumb people. In 2 years, this man has won 20 games.
He's kind of a show-off with his custom shakes for the players. That's goofy.
I kind of like that. I wouldn't mind a custom shake, to be honest with you. I don't know. I tried to make a shake that was bad. Never mind. It's a different story.
Unless the man was a biochemistry major, he should maybe.
I like it. But anyway.
Keep that to himself.
20 wins in 2 years with Nick Foles and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
They were 10-6 both times, but they did not make the playoffs. Now, it's funny. You know, they had the same record as the previous year, but did not make the playoffs. You and I both predicted they wouldn't make the playoffs before the year. I said 8-8, so they beat that projection. And to be honest, they would have been better, even better, and probably made the playoffs had Foles not gotten hurt.
Yes.
They were kind of the odd team out with the NFC South winner getting in. They were the seventh team,
Arizona had to be given
the
spot.
Fact that all right. I don't know if it would work out for Philadelphia, but I kind of just want to see it.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if they just threw their entire draft, every pick they had, to get Marcus Mariota at number two? Let's say Tampa Bay doesn't pick Mariota. They go with Winston. And number two, Tennessee, sitting there, who allegedly is happy with Zach Mettenberger. Wouldn't it just be, like, I'm not saying it's a smart move.
Right.
But it's a move I kind of want to see. Even though it didn't work out for Washington. We just made fun of Washington.
If they were to make an RG3 deal, well, here's the thing.
It would be it's a better situation than RG3 in Washington. There's no denying that.
Much better situation, and I'll tell you this, because we talked about with a previous divisional discussion. Yes, Winston has a higher ceiling than Mariota. There's no question about that.
But
having
it's all
said
about
that,
fit. There's no better place for Mariota to go than Philadelphia.
Marcus Mariota in a Chip Kelly NFL system is peak Mariota.
Yes.
I mean, you could not ask for it. But whatever Marcus Mariota's pro potential is, you get 100% of it there.
And that's the whole thing. It's like, okay, well, if he goes to a different coach, you know, he's only been in the Oregon system, how do they use him?
Right.
If he were to go... Because here's the thing, you look at the Eagles the last 2 years, and with replacement to below replacement level quarterback play, Nick Foles' numbers 2 years ago were a product of Kelly's system.
Like what,
not
26
a
pro- to 2 on the touchdown ratio?
Yeah, that was a product of Kelly's system, not a product of how good Nick Foles is, in my opinion.
Right.
So if they got the perfect fit for Chip Kelly's system, which is, I mean, at least at the college level, was Mariota.
Right.
I mean, how good could this team be? Now, the only issue is, like Washington, they have other holes besides quarterback. If Kelly's operating under, I can plug Eddie Spamoul in under, you know, at quarterback, it will be okay. Because defensively, in the back end, they're pretty bad. The more responsible move would clearly just be sitting tight at your pick and getting a DB.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it would be, like, how crazy would that be if they moved up for Mariota?
But that would be. That would be. I would enjoy seeing that. I have to say also, too, out of any of my friends with any of their verbal tics, probably in the top five is you randomly dropping Spamoul from time to time. I do enjoy that. I enjoy a good Kyle Russ Spamoul reference there.
I stole from Bob Heenan, like I stole all my good stuff.
I didn't even remember that, but no, that's a good one. The other thing, too, is that in the off season, this Howie Roseman fella appears to have lost a power struggle in that weird front office in Philadelphia over time, which has been graced by folks with the wonderful personalities of Joe Banner and some of these other vampires. Apparently, again, Chip Kelly right now has the upper hand. When it's all said and done several years from now, I don't know if we'll look back and find any other division where the off-the-field alterations, not even big things of like we're going to blow out, you know, these guys and start over, but change of course things within the same personnel / coaching staffs. We already talked about Jerry Jones finally deciding to listen to his scouts more and stop making Jerry Jones big splashy moves that get in the way. Scott McLaughlin getting hired as the general manager in Washington, which if Dan Snyder keeps his word and stays out of his way, I'm calling it now, Washington will be a winner again in about 2 to 3 years because they'll address the quarterback position. And Philadelphia, this Chip Kelly thing, I can't tell you which way it's going to go because him having more say over the roster and having sort of a hand-picked GM, that kind of doesn't tend to work out as well. You know, Bill Parcells, I want to buy the groceries as well as cook them. But it's a fascinating thing.
Well, he needs to find the right players to run those, quote, Jap plays of his.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So it's three of the four teams in the division in the last 12 months within the existing coaching and general manager staffs have made big alterations. You don't see it that often in the league, much less in the same division. So much less at the same time.
So we both agree that the Cowboys are going to regress next year. We both agree that the Redskins, or pardon me, the Washington football team.
The Redskins,
okay,
yes.
Aren't going to be very good.
Yes.
What do you think of the Eagles next year?
Eagles to win
kind
the division.
Kind of the same?
Yeah.
Oh, because so win the division. So
I don't think anybody's going to pass them.
Oh,
I know
I
from talking to you off air, you do. Process of elimination, one team we haven't talked about
the
now.
New York football Giants.
A year ago, at this time, we thought they might. We didn't have the balls to go with it.
And it turned out to be right.
Well, and a year ago, and look, and we had no way of knowing, even after they made their draft, because we had no way of knowing the impact of Odell Beckham Jr., who, by the way, helped bring home, I thank him so much, the 2014 Ferguson Loot Squad that won the TNT football Fantasy Football Championship. I appreciate that from him.
I'll tell you what, leave it to you to have a more offensive team name than Dan Snyder.
But the prospect of him with Victor Cruz being healthy next year.
Reuben Randall ain't a bad player either.
Reuben Randall, Larry Donnell at tight end. He really had some good flashes this year. Eli Manning at the trigger. Again, good Eli and
funny.
Bad Eli all in the same season, but still.
But it was funny. So early on, it clearly didn't work. Now, he didn't have Beckham early on.
Right.
Eli Manning. And so, you know, there were some whispers at the start of the year, okay, maybe Eli can change his game to kind of what Philip Rivers did when Wisenhunt was the offense coordinator in San Diego. You know, get the ball out quicker, high completion percentage. And it wasn't happening early on. Late in the year, good God, was this offense clicking. And when you look at, you know, ceilings for an offense, I think the Giants might be the highest. Now, they have other holes to fill on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive line.
Is Andre Williams the answer at running back? I mean,
I don't, you know, the way let's talk about that position for a second, the running back position. With very few exceptions, like Marshawn Lynch and some others, it's a platoon position now. Andre Williams could be part of a platoon. Andre Williams' problem is he's not very good catching the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
So as a between the tackles guy, mm-hmm. you pair him with somebody else. You know, I read the other day somebody suggesting that the Giants should get Roy Helu Jr. That would be an okay 1-2 combination with the way this team can pass the ball, okay. probably. So let's talk about the Giants, though, coming into last year. We backed off of it because, you know, the metrics going into last year kind of suggested a lot of different things. This was a right. team that was 7-9 2 years ago, but had a horrible point differential.
Yep.
But they also had a really horrible turnover margin, which, you know, you usually those things like, okay, if you have a really bad point differential compared right. to your record, you know, the Pythagorean system will say you're going to go down. But if you have a bad turnover differential, it says you're going to go up.
Yeah.
So I just was like, yeah, screw it. I think I said 7-9 or 8-8. They wound up 6-10, a little worse than I expected.
Right.
But their point differential last year was only minus 20, 69 points better than the previous year when they actually won one more game.
Right.
All of the trends this year pointing up. 0-4 in one score games. That's not going to be repeated. Eli Manning's one more year in this offense.
Right.
I think I'm going to – you talk about all this front office noise in this division. I'm going to count on this team making the right moves. I don't understand why my dad supports Kevin Love, by the way, if I can just say a random thing.
I love Kevin Love.
Okay.
I love him as a player.
Okay.
And he is
– I get so many texts. They miss Kevin Love on defense. Dad, what are you saying? So anyway,
Kevin Love's one of the best players in the league, and he will show it by the end of the season.
I hope so. Anyway, okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Back to the task at hand.
Yeah,
I think Camp Coughlin circles the wagons one more time. I think this team has a breakout season, double digit wins. They bag the division.
They may, but I mean, his fate is not completely in his own hands because when we're talking about front offices in this division, it took. The ownership here, the Mara family, which recently suffered a big loss with the matriarch of the franchise passing away, they gave a vote of confidence not only to Tom Coughlin, but to Jerry Reese, who, again, his rookie year as general manager, they won the Super Bowl, and every one of his 7 draft picks contributed that year. And he got off to a great start as GM, but the last couple of years, a lot of holes on that defense that have not been patched. I mean, gone are the days when Jerry Reese could come out of a draft and say, I got JPP, yeah, you know me. We haven't seen that in a while, Kyle.
No. Look, I said they're not perfect. I just think that from a numbers perspective, that let's say they just didn't do anything,
yeah,
they'd be better next year.
Boy, you're counting on a lot of 41-38 wins. The way they stack up now, this defense has holes. They have players, but
I think
they have
they'll win it. I mean, look, they were 0-4 in one score games. I don't think they're going to do that again.
Okay.
I think that, look, if they win like 10 or 11 games, like I think they can,
yeah.
That's obviously, I'm obviously counting on, you know, not just one, but several upgrades
sure.
on both sides of the football. But I just think naturally they're going to be better. They will be better next year. And is if they make a couple key upgrades on the defensive side of the ball,
right.
10-11 wins.
Well, and it's interesting as we go through and we're talking about different teams because in the case of Baltimore, you and I both said very quickly and definitively, yes, the secondary blows, yes, they will address it. That won't be the case next year. I look at ongoing chronic situations going back to the wide receiver situation in Kansas City. The Giants the last couple of years defensively, and I think it's not been for lack of effort. It's not that they've failed to address it defensively. They just haven't gotten the right guys.
Yeah.
So I don't have the faith necessarily that this offseason is going to be any different for them.
I think that, well, here's the thing. I don't think they'd be like with Baltimore, who's very consistent and and usually their record is indicative of their level of play. I just think the Giants could be one of those teams who overperforms next year.
They might.
They underperformed this year, quite
all right,
frankly.
Well, and I think they might have underperformed a little bit, too. All right, you're seeing them as your favorites at the moment to win the division.
I'll be honest with you, I'm probably not going to change that.
Okay.
I really like them to win this division.
I am defaulting back to the Eagles. I am not picking any wild cards out the division. Are you picking the Eagles potentially for a wild card?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. They're in your mix. All right, so stay tuned, I guess, for later on in the year to get our more definitive picks, but you don't think you're going to be changing off of the Giants. I don't think I'm changing off of the Eagles. So feel free to throw that back in our faces, folks, if we change later in the year.
We're not picking Washington, I'll tell you that much.
Not picking Washington again. We learned our lesson.
As the bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.